In obedience. Now, there's a thing about obedience, right? It's something I think we all struggle with. Oh, not you. Okay, no, cool. So you guys are, you do this like no issue, you know. Obedience is something, you know, when you have children, you start there and you have to train. The interesting thing about kids is that, at least I found with mine, is I do not have to teach them how to be naughty or how not to obey me. Right? They just kind of do it. And all the parents are going, yeah, Kubus, you have to remind us. But obedience is something that we learn, that we will face every now and then, that we struggle with. You know, even in our relationship with God, when He speaks, sometimes I think we, you know, deliberately hard hearing, or we're just slow to be obey, and you know, then we have issues and situations in our lives, and we go like, Lord, but why? And sometimes I think the answer lies in the fact that you were just disobedient. You know, our pastor used to say, if God is not saying to you anything at the moment, go back to the last thing He told you. Obey that instruction and then move forward. And so many times God speaks to us, we recognize His voice, but we fail to obey what He's saying to us. And then who's at fault? Is God then unfaithful? Is He not true to His word? Or is it us that are just actually walking in disobedience before Him? So, I want us to take a moment here quickly, and I want you to get out your phone or a piece of paper, because this is a practical preaching service this morning. All right? You must write something down, so you can't just look at me. Okay? And you can't do the mental list. Some of you with photographic memories, you know, just like, yeah, I got that. Not this morning. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a moment and write down who you are. And be honest with yourself. No one's going to look at this. This is just between you and yourself. Just write down who you are. What do you see when you look at yourself? What do you think of? What do you think of yourself right now? Just want you to sort of have that in the back of your mind. You know, I think one of the things that sort of was a moment in my life, I went for a job interview while we were still in Potch. And I remember in the interview, the guy says to me, so what is your strong and your weak points? Oh, what's your weak points? That was the question. What's your weak points? And I looked at him and I thought, but I don't have any. I'm legit. I couldn't think of anything that I'm bad at. And you know, when I left there, it bothered me. And I was like, because there is stuff that I'm bad at, you know. But in that interview, I just couldn't think about it. And there, sort of a journey started where, you know, you can look at yourself and evaluate and go, okay, but I'm good with this, I'm bad with that, etc. And I've learned to discern, because in that discerning, you know, God obviously teaches us things as well. The thing is, when I ask this question, who are you? Some of you will go like, you know, I'm kind of okay. Others would probably go like, you know, this is a tough question because I don't like myself currently. Or there's an issue or there's a problem or anything. The next question that we can ask is, who do people think you are? If we're going to ask those that are around you to write down who you are, what will they say, both Christian and non-Christians? What will they say about you? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think when we think of who I am, this is not something that we talk about generally. This is not something that, you know, I will just discuss with anybody. It's something that I live internally with all the time. Right? We have this question. We look at ourselves and we go like, but who are you and what am I about? Now, in Proverbs 23, verse 7a, it says the following. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And the Amplified puts in there in behavior and a few other things. But I just wanted to capture that. So as a man thinks in his heart, as you think in your heart, That's who you are. And that will influence your behavior. Now, if you don't think that you're a confident person, how much does it take for you to be confident? Will you ever be confident? If you don't like yourself, what will you be like in the company of people who are actually comfortable with who they are? And where will you find yourself in that situation? What goes on in your mind? And I think sometimes when we're in that situation, then the enemy is there. And he'll just throw some fuel on the fire there. He'll get you going. You know, and you hit this downward spiral. And I think that's sometimes where people are with depression. So they just don't like what they see. See, what you dream about, what you speak about, is what you will be. You know, we've heard this, that, you know, your words have lots of power. But I want to say that your thoughts have lots of power too. You know, as Christians, we get taught to sort of, you know, pray and say, God, you know, put a guard in front of my mouth. But I think sometimes we have to say, but Lord, sanctify my thoughts. Even in this scenario which we find ourselves in, the uncertainty and all the stuff that's going around us, what is your state of mind? What am I thinking about right now? So I want to say to you, I want to caution you, be careful what you think and speak about. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The thing with our thoughts, though, is that it's so easy just to go along with it, right? It's so easy to get that train of thought, and, you know, especially when we're sitting there at home, we're doing nothing or whatever, you know, start thinking about stuff. Quick, you've sat an hour and just kind of think. I guess the question is, what's the result? What's the fruit that comes from those thoughts that you are thinking about? And if I have thoughts that are not correct, that are spiraling me down into the pit, so if I can call it that, how do I change that? Well, that's a good question. I'm so glad you're asking it, because I've prepared to answer you for your question this morning. And, you know, this is the beauty of Scripture. It just tells us how to do these things. You know, you might sit here today and you go like, yeah, but I'm fine. I don't have an issue right now. Tomorrow is coming. And maybe tomorrow you'll face something. So, you all know Romans 12 verse 2. We've dealt with this Scripture quite a few times. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So, there's the two things. Do not conform to this world, which is an instruction, which is something that we need to heed, which we need to look at. Do I just look like the world? As my thoughts about what the world thinks I must look like, what car I must drive, what house I must live in, what clothes I must wear, is that what's determining my actions? Am I conforming to the world in my actions, in my deeds, and even in my thought life? Or how am I different? You see, I need to renew my mind. If I don't renew my mind, I will automatically default to conforming to this world. And that's easy, because we've been born into this world and we just so easily do what our flesh actually wants. And then Joshua 1 verse 8 says this: this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. What is day and night? That's a pretty long time. This is a hectic instruction here from God to Joshua, saying, listen, buddy, I need you to meditate on this law, on my instructions and everything that I'm giving you day and night. So to get back to the previous sermons, what is God speaking to you about? What is he desiring for your life? What are you meditating upon? What's going on in your head? Or is it just stats about Corona? and the issues around Corona, and the fact that you have to braai with a mask on. Okay, so but you shall be meditate on the day and night, so that you may be careful to do according all that is written in it. And look at this. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So let's flip it around. If I don't have good success, if I am not prosperous, what's the problem here? It's what I'm meditating on, what I'm looking at, what I'm thinking about. Is actually just bearing fruit in my life, is it not? And we know that scripture that said you will know them by their fruit. So I think you can look at your own life and go like, but what fruit is popping out here? And then I need to deal with that fruit accordingly. Psalm 77 verse 12 says this, I will ponder all your works and meditate on your mighty deeds. Think of the works of God in your life. Many of us here have been saved for many years, and I think, you know, we're sort of getting stuck in a rut in that we just carry on. We don't celebrate necessarily what God has done in the days gone by. We don't ponder even on the works. You don't sit and think about how God took you through that situation, where you actually lost it, you know, where you lost your hope, and how God actually redeemed you and brought you to that place where there's victory. And when you look back now, you go like, wow, God, you are so awesome. You know, and the place where you actually have to meditate about those things are most probably when it's in the worst spot again. We have to look at the altars and go, God, but this is what you've done, that you've done there, etc., etc. You know, at my age, I'm thinking, I've served God now more than 30 years. You know how many testimonies and stuff there is that I can ponder about? I've got no excuse. His mighty deeds are so evident in my life, in my family's life, in those around me. How can I not see and meditate on what he's done? But then I choose not to look at those things. I choose to look at the stuff that's currently freaking me out. And you know what happens? I get despondent. I'm not strong and courageous anymore because I'm looking and thinking about the wrong stuff. So he says, listen, I will ponder. This is a declaration, I will ponder. I'm saying to myself, hey, Baliki, you need to ponder on the works of God, on his mighty deeds. Psalm 119:15 says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. We're going to look at Psalm 119. This is verse 15, so it's coming. You're going to think about this one. But just think about it. He's meditating on God's precepts, on the way, on his ways, what he says and how he says he should do things. He's engaging with God and saying, Lord, but teach me. As I'm pondering, please teach me so that this will be the outflow from my life. It's not my natural inclination. It's not who I want to be, but it's a flowing out of your word and who you are in my life as I meditate on these things. And then I can just bear that fruit. You see, now I need to change what I think about. If it's day and night, how do I get past that one? Okay, man, it's no skimmer here, you know, it's just like sunrise. It's not day, it's not night, it's like in between. So I'm not going to think about nothing now. Brain do it. No, day and night. You see, but I think sometimes we think more about the things that our five senses tell us to think about. I hear something, I go, and I'm thinking, that's not good. That's going to happen. And then probably that's going to happen. Man, this is not good. Sometimes you can even taste something that's going to freak you out. Bad steak definitely freaks you out. I mean, come on, that's just not. But we govern our lives by what we can see or feel with our five senses, with the stuff that comes to my life. As I filter it through those things, it immediately engages my thinking and gets me on this track. See, I need to guard my eyes and my mouth, even my nose. I need to put guards there. Those gates, the eye gate, changes a lot in your life. The things that you see. Because what is the things that I see? It's the reality. I'm watching the news. I'm seeing what's happening, you know, etc. It changes the way that I think. So, how do I change this? Firstly, I think we can take from what we've read so far that I need to read and study God's Word. If you wonder why we have Bible school, that's why we have that. If you know, wonder why we're going to do encounters and all these things, it's part of this. It's so that I can get God's Word in my life, so I can get the truth of what God is saying, so that when my situation comes, I can speak from that place of being saturated with the Word. I can speak to my situation. Is that not what Jesus did when Satan tempted him? He said, it is written. You see, the one that I'm going to feed is going to have the victory. If I feed my flesh, it's going to have the victory. If I feed my spirit, then my flesh will not overcome it. Because you are a spirit being. Then the next one, I must know it. It's not anybody allowed. Oh, great stuff. All right, the next thing that I strongly suggest you do is to pray. Is to pray. To have conversations with God. You know, when someone says to you, yeah, you must pray, we all think, you know, I must go sit on my knees with my hands together and now I'm praying. No. Breathe, God. Breathe relationship with God. As you walk, as you live, as you walk out your life in every situation, pray, speak to your Father. Have a conversation. You know, if we work together, and we've done this, When I still had the business, she was there. And we went entire days not saying a word. Not. Because I like her. So, even when we're working together, we'll have a conversation. And this is the thing. In my relationship with God, talk to Him. Have discussion. Pray. Let it be life. Not just a ritual or something that you do, you know, 5 minutes in the morning before you hit the road. No. Prayer is much more than that. And when you do pray, and you are connected to Him like that, you know, at your work, you will pray for those around you. And life will just flow from you. The next thing is, seek God's face. Seek God's face. Involve Him in everything that you do. Look out for the stuff that is busy with in your life. You know, and the best place to try and do this is when you think nothing is right. When everything is pear-shaped, just open your eyes. Just have a look at what God is busy doing in your life. Because the fact of the matter is He is busy. Sometimes we just miss it. Seek His face, seek His presence, seek His hand in the stuff that is happening in your life. And then walk it out. Walk it out. Have that living, daily, exciting relationship with God. Relationship with God is not a Wednesday in the week or a Sunday. Relationship with God is 24/7, day and night. So as I'm meditating on His Word, as I am breathing in these things, I'm actually, you know, in communion with Him 24/7. May He even influence your dreams. May your dreams actually even get you to a place where you go like, wow, God. What are you thinking about? What does your conversion mean to you? When you gave your life to Jesus, what does it mean to you? You know, I know when we all get born again, it's like the most exciting thing. But now, years later, what does it mean to you? Was it just an event in your life? Was it actually who you are? You see, because my relationship can be with God can just be an event in my life. It can be a moment, or it can be who I am. When I've given my life to Him, I signed over everything. And my conversion is that thing where God started living through me, where His glory is just pouring out through me. So don't let the fact that you're serving God just be a moment somewhere in your life. Don't let it be something that you just do, but let it be life. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this, and Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." You see, sometimes I think we get so, you know, used to being a Christian. We're kind of just going through the motions. We're doing stuff because the pastor says so. Or it's something that I'm used to just doing. But the fact here is, you know, I can bring those offerings before God and actually not obey Him even. Because God desires obedience to Him firstly. You know, and the communion of the saints, the getting together of the people of God, is something that He delights in. Being baptized is something that I obey because He instructed it so. The fact that I'm reaching out, you know, to those around me is because He said, go and make disciples. It's not because it's a church program or something that Christians in generally do. It's because I'm obeying Him. Because His word is in me, His life is in me. And the only thing that I can do is pour that out to the world next to me. Just let that life just flow through me as a channel into those around me. And I need to make sure that this vessel is unblocked. It's clear of every other thing that hinders the flow of God's presence through my life. I need to just obey. I said last week, you know, the thing that parents desire most is first time obedience. When you speak, that the child will just listen. It's the most amazing thing when they do. And yet in our relationship with God, sometimes, you know, because I am thinking about the wrong stuff, because my mind is not in the right place, I am actually not in a space then where I do not obey His instructions. Where when that instruction comes, I filter it through all my stuff and I go like, you know, but that doesn't make sense. But I just need to obey. As I bring my life as an offering before Him. See, it's not that you don't have to sacrifice. It's not that you don't have to do these things, but it's doing it in obedience to Him. My life is an offering to Him alone. And let's know this, that God delights in it when we obey. When you obey, when I obey Him, He delights in it. It is fantastic to Him when you do that. I can just think, you know, in that moments where you sort of speak to your child and he does what you say, you go like, whoa! And you celebrate that moment. You know what? And I want to tell you this, that today you're obeying a small thing. Tomorrow it will be bigger. And then bigger and bigger. You see, and as you obey, God is even able to trust you with more. And I want more. I want to walk in a place with Him that He's okay to give me stuff. Because I've learned to obey Him. And not just to bring sacrifices, not just to go through the motions, but actually to obey Him. There's no Christian act other than this one that's got a sweet-smelling aroma to Him like this. It's when we obey Him. So I want to give you three action steps to walk in obedience. And the first one is reject notions of perfection. You just have to read the Bible to know that these guys that is in the Bible are not perfect. In actual fact, three of the biggest writers in the Bible were murderers. Puts me in a good space. Moses, David, and Paul were all murderers. And then I go like, okay, so Lord, if you use them, I think I'm okay. I murdered mice when I was younger, but that's about as close as I got. It was the greatest fun to make up mooties and inject the mice with mooties and see what happens. Yeah, nah, can you that glo? Stout. My parents did not know, just by the way. That was us just being boys. It was revenge because they bit my brother, and then we decided, okay, you're all going to die. So we caught them and we... Ja, kan ek glo ons het seker goed gedoen nie, maar any case. You see, what we need to realize right now is that God actually delights in using flawed, imperfect people. So you don't have to be perfect. Philippians 3 verse 13 and 14 says, brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is Paul speaking. That is what I do. I do not look back. I lengthen my stride and I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly calls offers in Christ Jesus. Oy. But Paul speaking here is saying, listen, I don't look back anymore. Because the fact of the matter is here, as we sit here, all of us make mistakes. And we can so easily disqualify ourselves not to be there to be used by God, right? And the devil again is there. And it's going like, yeah, no, you didn't X, Y, and Z, you shouldn't do this. Saints, I want to tell you that the harvest is ready. And the people that God wants to use is sitting here and is on Zoom there. As imperfect as we are, He wants to use us. It's just me bringing that offering to Him and saying, God, yeah, I am. Use me. If He can use murderers, if He can use people that like Jonah last week decided he's leaving the presence of God, he's getting out of here. If He can use guys like that, then there's no reason why He wouldn't use you and me. Because we do make these mistakes. But I don't want you to live there. That is why if we sin, we come to Him, we repent, and we go on. Yes, sometimes it influences my confidence, but that's fine. Just walk it out. Just walk it out. You know, in this walk before God, or let me say, in this battle with the world, you know, when I used to do karate, I remember the coach, you know, when you're sparring and stuff, and this guy gets a punch through and he hits you, he'll be crop, no. And you go like, and you're there on the ground, you can't breathe, etc. Then what does he do? He picks you up and goes like, walk it out, and you get walking, and then you're back in the fight. So the fact that you have fallen, the fact that you have failed, doesn't mean that you are disqualified for the fight. Walk it out, get up, let's do this. The second thing that I want to encourage you to do, to walk in obedience, is to lean into God's power. Lean into God's power. You see, just remember that it's not about your abilities. But it's about God's empowering. Power. His power on your life. When God comes onto you, when the Holy Spirit who dwells in you becomes alive in you, it's through that we are able to do anything. Saints, we look at South Africa and we go like, what's going on here? I want to tell you, as we walk by the Spirit of God and by the power of God, this country will serve Jesus. Because we're gonna bear the fruit, we're gonna prophesy, we're gonna speak, we're gonna bring life because we have received life. That is what God is calling us to. And I need to understand it's not in my own power. Philippians 4:13, Apostle Paul said, I can do all things. Just notice it doesn't say some things. It says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. You see, you are not alone. God has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in you. And can we just agree here today that we have received the Spirit of God and therefore we cannot be timid and withdrawn any longer in our pursuit of God and His kingdom? That we have been called to be strong and courageous, that He has put His Spirit upon us so that we can do the great works, even the greater works than what Jesus did in this life. That's not destined just for me because I've got the title pastor. It's destined for each one of us to live and walk in it and breathe in it. You see, it's up to you and me to go out of here, and even though I'm weak, to lean into God's power, to lean on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, teach me as I go. Fill my mouth with your words. Minister through me so that I can bring life to those places around me. Let that rivers of living water just bubble up over you into the places around you. Don't hold it back anymore. That's saying that it's not about you. Ministry success comes from God's power in us. Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Do you realize what happened when Jesus said, I'm leaving you the Holy Spirit? He has left you so that you and I do not have to lean on our own strength anymore. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to mess up. But it's what, when I am in that moment, it's what I do that matters. If I allow the enemy just to kick me down and leave me there, I will stay there. But if I get up and I lean on him, that's when everything changes. Then number three is, do not fight it. Obey the voice of God. How do you think reluctant people achieve great things for God? How do you think they do that? It's because they simply respond to God's instructions despite their feelings. I've not met any pastor that has gone, I've got this. You know, I'm so cool. Everyone that I speak to goes like, man, I can think of way many other people who can do a greater job than I am. But I'm just responding to his call. I can disqualify myself on so many levels. But it's not about that. I'm just obeying his instructions. You see, and you can feel that you are disqualified. You can feel unworthy. You can feel that you know, you're not called to do anything great in God's kingdom. But can I ask you one thing? Just respond to his call, to his voice, to his instruction. In that moment. You see, what God desires from us is simply moment by moment obedience. When he speaks to you in that moment, is to in that moment say, yes, Lord. And not have 20,000 excuses of why it shouldn't be that. But just to go, I'll respond. And you know, as you walk in it, as you walk this out, as you practice it in your life, just being obedient, you will see God using you more and more and more and more and more. You know, the saints that we look at that is doing great things for God was there once. Where they were unsure of themselves. They didn't know how to pray for someone to be healed. You know, they didn't know how to lead a small group. They were afraid to do children's ministry or even sound or whatever. All these things. They simply just stepped into that space and said, God, I'm not worthy, but use me. I'm going to probably mess this up, Lord. But if you can use the guys in the Bible, go read the Bible. There's so many of them. They're hiding. They mess up. They say, Lord, you know, get someone else. There's so many of them that I read them and I go like, that's me. And I go, yes. There's hope for me here. I can just do this. That old saying that God can't steer a ship that isn't moving. I wanna ask you to get your ship out of the harbor and to out onto the open waters so that the Holy Spirit can steer your life. Will you face a storm or two on the open waters? Ach, man, bring it on. It is okay. Because it's even in those storms that God shapes us and molds us and builds stuff into us. Because He knows what is coming. My ship needs to be out on the water. Isaiah 6 verse 8 says, "And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, Here I am. Send me." You know, just before this, he's actually saying, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips. I am not worthy." And then he hears God saying, but who's going to go? He goes like, and that's a brave thing to do. It's the most awesome thing to do. Is to, in that moment, say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." And step out. And you're Brooke Beaver, you know, and you're scared and you're unsure. And, you know the first time, I think, I'm trying to think where it was, where I had to prophesy over someone. Everything goes weird. Nah? And you try and speak and nothing works. Or at least it feels to you like it's, and you go away then, it's like, "Oh, shucks, Lord. What now?" But it's incredible how God just uses you in the place where you are. The moment where you are, He will use you powerfully. Now I want you just to quickly think of your list. And now I want you to write down quickly, who does God say that you are? See, because that matters. What is God calling you to? How do you believe God wants to use you? You see, the reality is, you can reach people that I will never get to. Never. Unless you bring them here. But I cannot reach them. I need to understand who God says that I am. And now, yes, there's scripture that you need to quote here. There's prophetic words that you need to think about. There's dreams maybe that you've had about your future and what God is calling you that you need to go revisit. Because you see, you need to understand who God says that you are. And I think at this time in our world, we as the church need to understand who we are. Because that's how we're going to make the difference. Who God says we are. I don't know about you, but I feel like the church is getting shoved in this little corner. The church is no longer important to society. They don't even want to give us venues. But I serve a God. We can make a highway in a sea. For his kids to walk through. A dry highway. Not even mud. So then I go like, "Lord, what's next? Let's do this." See, what's different between your first list and the list that you're thinking of now and writing down? What's difference between who you say you are and who God says you are? And I guess you need to make the decision which one is more important to you. Because if I think my opinion is more important than God's opinion, guess what? That's what I'm going to be. But if I get God's perspective, things will change. If I understand that He uses the weak to confound and make the strong look silly, then I go like, "Lord, bring it on." Is that not what Paul says? When I'm weak, He is strong. That's why I'm leaning into His power. I'm going, "Lord, I can't do this. Just lead me." So can I close with this? Saying that I want to encourage each one of us to understand who God says that we are. That we need to sort out our heart before Him. That we need to renew our mind. That we need to walk in relationship with Him tightly. That we need to obey rather than just go through the motions. Rather just bring cheap sacrifices, but to obey. You see, God celebrates the fact that you are here, that you make the time to come here. But may you walk out of here in obedience. And then walk before Him as you are. Learn to lean into His power. Okay, not in your own strength. And then obey His voice when He speaks to you. Let God steer you where He thinks you should be rather than where you think you should be. That's why, for me at least, when people are, you know, in a certain work or something and they get uncomfortable in the work and they want to leave, my question is this always is, but is God finished with you in that season, at that work? Has He accomplished what He wants to accomplish through you in that business? Or are you just leaving for, you know, better salary, you know, you hope to have better working conditions, etc., etc.? Why are you leaving? Is it as per His instruction, leading and guidance? And who else confirms it? Because sometimes when we make life decisions, we go like, Lord, show me, and then you believe you've heard God, and there's no one that actually, that God has placed next to you, actually just confirms it. In the counsel of many, there is wisdom, and this is the thing. You know, I don't go to speak to other people. I should, you know, to sort of have my way. I speak to people, so that the people that are actually willing to say, but you are hearing wrong, before I will hear them, make that decision. You see, because God will even use those people around you to steer your life. And that's why we have small groups. That's why we have this, so that we can walk with one another. That as we walk in the Spirit, that we can minister to one another even that. So I want to encourage you. The mission is great. Saints, and the time is few. What are we going to do about it? I want to close with a scripture. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, and you know the scripture, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And then, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. See, we are not placing our trust in our own wisdom, strength, or abilities here. We are trusting it in the Lord who is building the house, who is watching over our walls. We are placing all our trust in Him. At least that's how it should be. And I can choose whether I build the house and I watch my walls, or whether I actually trust Him to do that for me. And it's the most incredible thing when you walk with God like this, that He will show you stuff. That the house gets built in a way that you don't necessarily think it should. What an exciting time to walk with God. Saints, there's no accident that we are here today. And that it's not Paul and the disciples. It's because we are God's called in this time. And all God desires for you and me is to walk in obedience.